What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at ikea-usa.com today.
Hello, I'm Matthew Wolf, and you're listening to my podcast. This podcast is the best bit from my weekly radio show on Wizard Radio Station every Sunday from 3 till 4. What you're listening to is taken from live radio, but this is a podcast, which means it is obviously not live. So please do not try and get in contact with any of the live details you may hear me mention throughout the show, as your messages will not be received, but you may still be charged. All of our terms and conditions for getting involved can be found on our website, www.wizardradio.co.uk. Also, as this is a podcast, some of the information we give about news stories may have been updated or changed since our broadcast went live. The information in this podcast is accurate and correct as of the time the radio show was originally broadcast, but might not now be accurate. Anyway, enjoy the podcast and don't miss the live radio show every Sunday from 3 till 4, where you can get in touch live. Hello and welcome to the podcast. As always, we had two really interesting topics on today's show. For the first topic, I asked the listeners what they thought about the new Police Crime Sentencing and Courts Bill, which cracks down on the ability to protest in public spaces. I asked if the UK democracy is in crisis as a result of this, and I had some really interesting responses on both sides of the fence. Later in the show, I asked the listeners what they thought about the easing of lockdown restrictions, which are coming about on the 29th of March. I hope you enjoy. Good afternoon and welcome to Wizard Radio. I'm Matthew Wolf, and for the next hour, and at this time, every single Sunday, I'll be discussing your thoughts on the biggest current affairs and political stories of the week gone by. For our first topic today, I want your thoughts on the government's new Police Crime Sentencing and Courts Bill. Do you think that it's a blatant crackdown on democracy and the right to free speech and protest? Or is it a necessary crackdown on law and order? Later in the show, I want to hear your thoughts on the easing of lockdown restrictions from next week. Do you feel that the government are moving too slowly with the nation's reopening, or are you satisfied with the speed we're moving at? Are you still nervous about seeing people again, or do you think it's long overdue? As always, for this show to work, we need as many of you to get in touch as possible, so contact us. You can tweet us or DM us on Instagram and Twitter, we're at WizRadio. Text us at no extra cost, only standard network rates apply, on 07807 183538. Email us station@wizardradio.co.uk, and all of our contact details are on our website, www.wizardradio.co.uk. Good afternoon. This week, the UK government began the process of trying to pass their new Police Crime Sentencing and Courts Bill, which they say will protect women and girls by increasing the minimum proportion of time sex offenders have to serve of their sentence. However, other parts of the bill are proving extremely controversial, particularly the new set of powers given to police breaking up protests. Here is a more detailed explanation by TLDR News of what the bill does to laws surrounding protests.
Because this bill gives the state wider powers in four key areas. Firstly, previously the police had special powers to intervene only in major marches, but now all of those extended powers also apply to static protests and single-person protests. Secondly, the police can now restrict protests in order to prevent impact. Previously, police could only do this to prevent disorder, damage, disruption, and intimidation. But this has now been extended to include impact, which sounds suspiciously vague to us. Thirdly, you can now be prosecuted for protesting illegally, even if you weren't aware of the law. Previously, you could only be prosecuted if you were knowingly breaking the law. Now, you can be prosecuted if it's decided that you ought to have known the law. Fourthly, the police are now allowed to stop protests for being too noisy. And this isn't defined objectively, but only when noise may result in serious disruption to the activities of an organisation. If this wasn't vague enough already, the bill also allows for the Home Secretary to quite literally define serious disruption however they want, via statutory instruments. And because these statutory instruments don't require parliamentary approval, and the police can now shut down disruptive protests, the Home Secretary can cancel pretty much any protest they don't like.
With regards to the public nuisance part of the bill, the bill turns what was already an offence under common law into statute law. This means that there is now an explicit regulation regarding what public nuisance is, as well as introducing a maximum jail sentence of 10 years. Additionally, the bill also expands the definition of public nuisance to include annoyance. Back in 2015, the Law Commission did suggest that public nuisance be moved from common law to statute law. However, the Commission included nothing about the term annoyance, which the government have added. Also in this bill are tougher sentences for those who deface statues, as well as greater powers given to the police in cases of removing travellers and gypsies. Travellers can now be removed by police if they suspect that significant disruption to the public is likely to be caused, even if no crime is currently being committed. The government defending this bill by stating that they are becoming tougher on law and order at a time when it is needed. And the Home Secretary, Priti Patel, has stated that there is a clear democratic mandate for the bill, having included it in the Conservative Party's manifesto in the last election. However, whilst this is true, the manifesto included no reference about the protests in its mentioning of the bill, only of travellers and public monuments. The bill's curbing of public protest has incensed many, with some outraged at the timing of this bill. Following the police's treatment of women at the Sarah Everard vigil, it's led many to question whether the police deserve even more powers. It has led to even more protests this week, with the Kill the Bill marches in Bristol turning violent over the last few days, with some saying these have now been hijacked by those on intent of violence, regardless of the cause. So I want to hear from you. Is this bill a necessary increase in law and order, or is it simply a crackdown on democracy? A reminder of the ways in which you can get in touch with the show. You can tweet us or DM us on Instagram and Twitter. We're at Wiz Radio. Text us at no extra cost, only standard network rates apply, on 07807 183538. Email us station at wizardradio.co.uk, and all of our contact details are on our website, www.wizardradio.co.uk. And for our second topic, I want to discuss how you feel about the easing of lockdown from Monday. From Monday, in the UK, the stay-at-home order will be replaced by the requirement to stay local. In Wales, that requirement isn't even a requirement to stay local, as you are allowed to travel within the country. People are also allowed to meet in groups of six or in groups of two households. Organised sports outdoors will also resume, and I want to know your plans for next week and beyond. Are you excited, or are you still approaching it with trepidation? Do you think that the reopening should be quicker to include non-essential shops and gyms, or do you feel that the government are picking the right pace to move at? Let me know your thoughts. Once again, before we move on to the first topic, before our first break and then the discussion of the first topic, here are the ways in which you can get in touch. On Instagram and Twitter, we're at Wiz Radio. Text us at no extra cost, only standard network rates apply, on 07807 183538. Email us station at wizardradio.co.uk, and all of our contact details are on our website, wizardradio.co.uk. So we're going to get our first song of the hour on now. And after that, I want to hear all your thoughts on that main question. Is the UK's democracy in crisis in the wake of the violent protests we've seen in Bristol and this controversial bill that the government are trying to pass? So, yeah, I want as many of your thoughts as possible. But right now, it's Justin Bieber, Peaches, featuring Daniel Caesar and Giveon. That was Justin Bieber, Peaches, featuring Daniel Caesar and Giveon. So welcome back to Wizard Radio. I'm Matthew Wolfe. And the question I'm asking you guys listening for the first 45 minutes or so of the show is the UK's democracy in crisis? And I've got a message straight away here from Charlotte, who says, I know there have been some suggestions of this in the past, but I am now really scared that lockdown might have been the biggest slippery slope of all time. When people were saying that lockdown is a slippery slope last year, I was one of the people rolling my eyes and defending lockdown because it was clearly really important for our own health and safety. But now I'm regretting being so supportive of it. With this new policing bill, the timing is particularly suspicious because it's being brought in whilst we're being told that life will be going back to a new normal. To me, it sounds like new normal is going to be a society where we're not as free as we used to be. Well, Charlotte, thanks for your message. And the idea that lockdown is could have been a slippery slope into dwindling freedoms is not a new one on this show. I remember talking about it in quite a lot of depth last week. And I said then, and I'll say it again, that lockdown was necessary, completely necessary. It saved countless lives. Already, lots and lots of people tragically died from COVID, but from COVID-19, but lots more would have died had we not had lockdown, and it was completely necessary. But there was an article I read and that talked about how whilst lockdown was necessary, it will be a test of our constitution to see how robust it is, to see whether we can resort back to a time when we've all got our freedoms once these emergency measures once this period's over, and that the government need to, and it will be interesting to see if the government relinquish these emergency powers. And I have to say that this bill, in being so vague, seems as if it's an opportunity for the government to really suppress the protests they want to, which is never a good thing for democracy. One theory I've heard from a lot of people about this bill is that it's part of the government's culture. They think that with the BLM protests and the people surrounding the statues, that as a right-wing government who earn their support from they maybe want to they'll maybe benefit off maintaining a culture war and dividing people and creating kind of two opposing camps and simplifying complex issues like racial inequality in the UK into they hate Churchill, which in itself is an image and a statement that will rile up a lot of people against the causes that the government wants, and they can therefore get a lot of people on side and win future elections. That's a theory I've heard. I'm not sure. I honestly don't know whether I fully agree with it or not, but I do think that it's quite interesting, and I want to know you guys' thoughts on it. And quickly, before I move on to George's message, I just want to talk about how likely this is to actually go through this bill. And one thing that does make it more likely than anything else is the fact that the government included it in their manifesto. And something called the Salisbury Convention. Conventions in the UK are things that don't almost go, but they're unsaid, they're not written, but they're stuff that the lawmakers always follow. For example, a convention is that the Queen will never override a law made by Parliament because there's a democratic mandate for that, even though she technically has the power for it. So that's a convention. And this one convention called the Salisbury Convention maintains that the House of Lords do not have a right to overrule things that are in the government's manifesto because there's a democratic mandate for it, as they included it in the manifesto and it was voted for. However, this has been overruled once or twice. There was the case of tax credits. The House of Lords overruled the government when they wanted to cut tax credits for single parents. And I think that's the only one I can remember off the top of my head. But it's important to remember that it's very, very rare, due to this convention, that the Lords will overrule things in the government's manifesto. However, the fact that parts of this bill were not included in the manifesto means that it is slightly more likely that the Lords may try and overrule this. The Lords is does not have the same, because people are appointed for life, it does not have the same breakdown as the Commons. The Lords is, there's no majority for a single party, but together there are more Lords of who support Labour and the Lib Dems and Independent than are supporters of the Conservative Party, which means that if the Lords really wanted to, they may want to block this. Notwithstanding the fact as well that many Conservative backbenchers also oppose this bill. We heard them in Parliament this week talking about how they think it could be a curb on people's freedoms. That is perhaps less significant due to the fact that Conservatives have such a large majority and can generally whip the MPs into voting the way the government want them to. But it is worth noting as well. So that's just a recap of how likely it is that this bill gets through. So yeah, I've outlined that now. So I'm going to get on to another message about the impact of this bill should it get through. And this text here is from George. He says, "I remember last year when Boris Johnson first introduced lockdown. I was watching the press conference on TV and a journalist asked about the government's ability to impose a lockdown and make sure people follow it. Boris answered the question with a smirk on his face and almost laughed when he said the UK already had some of the strictest policing laws in place, so they don't doubt that they will be able to impose lockdown. I believe this has always been a part of Boris's plan. He got the British public in his hands. He scared us all into a lockdown, stripped our rights in the name of keeping us safe, and now is using it as an opportunity to control us even after this is over. I feel like I'm living in a movie. It's very scary." Well, George, I do think we have to be careful, because Boris Johnson, it's worth remembering, was reluctant to put us into lockdown. He resisted it, even when his scientific advisors were telling him to put us into lockdown. He resisted it for quite a long period of time, and that in itself cost a lot of lives. We know that the idea of a lockdown was not the government's idea originally. It was the scientific advisors' idea, and I'm going to maintain this. A lockdown was necessary in order to save lives. It was completely necessary to save lives. But I think what should be maintained from the start is it is an absolute worst last case scenario. Lockdown is not, whilst it's better than not having a lockdown in the case of a deadly virus spreading around, it is absolutely not something that's sustainable. And the negative impacts that come with it, we've discussed many, many times on the show, the impact on people's mental health, the impact on people's physical health, the impact on businesses, the economic destruction, which the Conservatives view so highly. So I do think that it should be worth maintaining that lockdown was a worst case scenario, and the government, I feel, did not want it at first. We saw that with the fact that they tried to ease restrictions as much as possible in the summer. But I do think that whilst it seems like these two issues of this bill and lockdown are very closely intertwined, and for some of you, pretty much everyone that's got in touch so far, they are, I do think my personal opinion is that that they're linked, but not in the way that some of you have said. I don't think they're linked in that the government are using lockdown as a way to infringe upon our rights. I personally believe that the government are using the protests and the social unrest, which has possibly arisen as a result of lockdown. We've seen more marches and more protests in the last year than in the last 10 years, probably before that. I think the government are using that unrest to try and create a culture war and crack down on these protests, saying, no one wants this disruption, no one wants this nuisance, let's come out hard and try and gain support by saying that we're going to be tough on these protests. And I think that's a dangerous thing. I think it restricts and infringes upon people's rights, and I think we should be wary on that. But I do not think the government are using the coronavirus lockdown as a way into this. But that's just my opinion. So yeah, we've got another text here from Sophia. who is coming from a completely different point of view to the ones, the texts we've had into the show so far. She says, "I really don't think we are in any sort of crisis, and I'm not concerned about this bill because people are already holding the government to account and showing that they disagree with the law. This has been one of the most discussed news stories in the past week, and I think the government are feeling the pressure over just how unpopular this is. At the end of the day, our country is run as a popularity contest, and if the government do something that a lot of people disagree with, then they will lose their popularity and won't be the government much longer. We hold the power in our democracy, so our democracy isn't in crisis." Well, Sophia, I like the optimism of your take, but I have to say I do disagree with you. The next election is a long time away, and I think it's very conceivable that whilst there is uproar now, it would have died down by the time that the next election rolls around and people won't necessarily consider it. There may be another issue that the government pin the entire election on, just like it was Brexit last time. They might find another issue that they pin everything on, and that may be what all the discourse is focused on next time around. So I feel like it's very easy for the government to get away with that based on how long there is between now and the next election. That's the first reason I disagree with you. But the second reason is that maybe this bill isn't actually as unpopular as you say. Parts of the media are protesting with it. But I do think that the government feel like they're playing to a populist base in saying that they can create all the outrage that that came about with the disruption around statues in the summer and other protests. They feel that they can gain popularity because in our system of democracy, no one needs an outright majority. The Conservatives won a landslide victory with only 40-something, 43, 44% of the popular vote in the last election. So if they can solidify their base and create a culture war, whether that's good for the social fabric of this country or not, is irrelevant. The government will be able to use this to gain support. And while certain media outlets are stating how dangerous this is, others are on board with it. Whether they've got influence from the government or not is another question. But in a free press, the media should be able to print exactly what they like. And some are completely criticising the government, but other right-leaning news outlets are actually somewhat supportive of this, saying it's a good crackdown on law and order. So yeah, I do think that for those two reasons, the first being that it may not be as unpopular as you think, and the second being that there's still a long time before the next election, I do think the government may, I don't want to get away with this, and it may... it may not be as unpopular as you think, Sophia. So I hope you're right, Sophia. I hope we're not in crisis, and I hope democracy's strong enough to ride through this. But I have to say, fairly concerned. So yeah, thanks for the text, though. It was really interesting to have your side of the story, which is different to the text we had before that. So thanks for your text. We've got another text here from Alex, and Alex is going to be the last text. Oh, no, sorry. I misread the time there. We've got a few more texts for our next break. But here's one from Alex who says, "The police bill is unnecessary. From reading the news coverage about it and the analysis of the bill, it sounds like this makes the police's job easier. It doesn't actually protect the public anymore. I can't work out what part of the bill actually makes us safer. It lets the police remove people from places if they think they're being disruptive. Not even if they're actually being disruptive. That doesn't actually protect people. Maybe I've watched..." "...from the first place, which isn't democratic. It's unnecessary and shouldn't be passed." Well, Alex, you've raised a host of good points, but I'm going to focus on at the start of your message when you're talking about how it makes the police's job easier. And I think that that's one of the most dangerous parts of the bill, the fact that police can move travellers if they suspect they'll cause disruption, not if they are causing disruption, or they can remove people from public spaces if they suspect that they'll cause disruption in a protest, even if it's not happening at the moment, or if they're too noisy, or if the Home Secretary feels that it's disruptive. this leads the police to basically do what they want in public spaces. And I feel that it's a very, very dangerous thing. Theresa May gave, I don't know if you can call this a criticism of the bill, because she said she overall supported it, but she had some queries. She said to Priti Patel that, and this, these are her words, she said that whilst I completely trust you as a Home Secretary, other Home Secretaries may not be as sensible as you. And I feel like it may not be the best thing to give the Home Secretary this much power. And they both started giggling to each other, and Priti Patel started laughing on the front bench. But I think it's a serious issue that if Priti Patel doesn't like a protest, she has the right to shut it down. And whether you're a big fan of Priti Patel or not, you have to remember that the next person in, even if you're a huge supporter of Priti Patel and think she'll make fair and right decisions, you have to be wary that the next person in the job may not be so sensible as Theresa May says. And giving a minister this much power is a very, very dangerous thing, in my opinion. I think one of the cornerstones of a strong democracy is the ability to protest and the ability to criticise the government. And if the government had the right to shut down criticism and shut down protest through the police, that can't be a good thing. And this vague language is just dangerous to me. So, yeah, thanks for the text there, Alex. And I share pretty much all of your concerns. I think it was a great text. There's another text here from Callum who says, as you said, Matthew, the government have used the fact that people have protested during lockdown to make an enemy of protesters and try to put in laws to stop protests. The government's attempts are working, though, because they make protesters look like bad people. These people are then going out and protesting again, allowing the government to keep making an enemy of them. It's a vicious cycle that is playing in the government's favour. Governments don't like protests. It's bad press for them. So for the government, this is an opportunity to put an end to that. It's very scary, but the people protesting right now against the bill, protesting against the bill, are playing into the government's plan. Well, Callum, that's a brilliant point. The idea that this is a vicious cycle, that the government are making enemies out of protesters. And then when people protest that, they can just point to them and say, look how violent these people are. This is why the bill is needed. So for the people peacefully protesting the bill, what you could say to them is you could tell them to stop protesting because that's playing to the government's strength. But then the bill just goes unchallenged. But then if they do protest, the government can just look and say, oh, look at the disruption they're causing. We need to crack down on protests because of them. So it's a vicious cycle that these people are stuck in. And one thing stuck with me, a comedian, Kay Kurd, quite a big comedian who I follow on social media. And he tweeted something. He said, if the people you're protesting are comfortable with your means of protest, then it isn't a protest at all. It's just a bad day out. He didn't say bad, but it's just a not very fun day out. And I think that's a really, really great way of summing it up. What a protest is expressing your displeasure at the government and or whoever. It doesn't have to be at the government. You don't have to protest them, but it's expressing your displeasure and trying to make people uncomfortable in order to change their ways. The protests in South Africa during the apartheid era didn't make the rulers comfortable. They tried to crack down on the protests and they broke the law in peaceful ways by sabotaging infrastructure and things like that. And that's how people took notice, by hitting them where it really mattered. Because if the people you're protesting with are happy with the protest, then they've got no reason to change their way and no reason to listen to your protest. So I think that's fundamentally why protests work. And I do think that people... that people need to maintain that and need to still have that level of still have that in their mind, because if the government are happy with it, then it's not making as much of a difference. And I think that the fact that the government are trying to crack down on it does suggest that they are uncomfortable with it. So I think it's a dangerous thing, but I also think that it could perhaps be a sign that the protests are working. And one final thing before we move on to our second song, I just want to say that the way the government are making enemies out of the protesters is quite a clever thing because of the variety of protests we've had this summer. I can guarantee that nearly every single person in this country will have been annoyed and outraged at one of the protests going on. whether that be the anti-vax protests or the anti-lockdown protests, which I myself were completely opposed to, or whether it be the Black Lives Matter protests. While I think that the anti-vax people, and we know for a fact they are misguided and what they're talking is complete nonsense, I do think that in a democracy, whilst it's difficult, they still have a right to protest, because in banning their protest, you then ban all other forms of protest. And I think that the wide range of protests we had the anti-vax protests, we had the anti-lockdown protests, we had the Black Lives Matter protests, we had the statue, the people defending the statues protests. And there's definitely every single person in this country, I can pretty much bet on, did not support at least one of those protests. So the government can then make an enemy out of these protests and use it to garner support for this bill. And I feel that that's quite a clever thing that they're doing, but also a dangerous thing. So I think that's a good place to take a break and regather ourselves after the next song. I want to have more of your thoughts on this question of if the UK democracy is in crisis. But right now is our second song of the hour. It's Griff and Black Hole. Welcome back to Wizard Radio. I'm Matthew Wolfe. A reminder of the two topics we're discussing on today's show. The first question, which we've had some great messages in on already, is the question of if the UK's democracy is in crisis. Later in the show, we'll be talking about how you feel about the easing of lockdown from Monday. A reminder of the ways in which you can get in touch with the show. You can tweet us or DM us on Instagram and Twitter. We're at Wiz Radio. Text us at no extra cost, only standard network rates apply, on 07807 183538. Email us station at wizardradio.co.uk, and all of our contact details are on our website, www.wizardradio.co.uk. So without further delay, I'm going to get straight into some more messages on the topic of if the UK's democracy is in crisis. Just a reminder of the context of this story. It comes as the government have began passing their police crime sentencing and courts bill. And there's some very vague languages. There's some very vague language in the bill about situations in which the government and the police can crack down on protests. And I've been asking all of you listening if you think this is an assault on democracy, or if it's simply a necessary crackdown on increasing law and order. We've had a variety of messages so far, and I've got another one here from Miranda, who says, "I agree with you 100%, Matthew. This is the government furthering their culture war. Look at the people this bill targets. Travellers, protesters, people who disagree with the government. If you're a Tory and you support a Conservative government, then these are the people on the other side that you disagree with. The government are providing an opportunity for their supporters to stop their enemies from being able to protest against their policies. That is the definition of a democratic crisis. In a democracy, you can't stop people who disagree with you from speaking out and saying their point. And that's what this government is trying to do." Well, Miranda, I agree with you. I've said this throughout the show, and you've kind of echoed what I'm saying. The idea that in allowing the Home Secretary to determine what is disruptive to the public, it leaves the law open to so much abuse from a Home Secretary who wants to suppress dissent against what they're doing and against their government. Let's say the government are planning to introduce a big cut to benefits, and people start protesting. The government, under this bill, have the power to have given the police the power to break up protests if they think the protests will be disruptive. Not even if they are being disruptive. And even if they are being disruptive, the definition of disruptive is up to the Home Secretary. So, like I said, it leaves the whole situation very open to abuse and very open to exploitation from a government who wants to suppress dissent. And I think it's very dangerous. And That's why I'm opposed to this bill. There are parts of this bill that would be less polarizing. I'm not going to say less popular. I'm not going to say more popular, because I do think that the main part of this bill is actually quite popular for a lot of people. That's why the Conservatives are doing it. But yeah, I think though the parts that would be less polarizing are the parts, for example, the tougher sentences for sexual offenders and those things. And one question about this bill, that's the part that Boris Johnson has repeatedly brought up, the fact that this will protect victims of sexual crimes and will keep them safe. And that's the part he's repeatedly spoken about to the media. He hasn't spoken about the other aspects of this bill, the ones that crack down on protests. And I think that the silence is perhaps quite telling in that they want to almost try and sneak this bill through. So, yeah, I put my cards on the table there. That's what I think. I'm very strong, and I think this bill is quite very, very dangerous. But we've got another text here from Nathan, who disagrees with me and you, Miranda, who says, "This might be a controversial opinion, Matthew, but I think it's about time the police had the power to stop disruption from happening before it actually happens. What good is a police force that can only act once an incident has already taken place? They need to stop things before it's too late. Protests are ineffective. They don't change anything, and they are disruptive. They stop our country from being able to move. And whilst I'm in support of a lot of the movements that have been protesting recently, these protests are filled with anarchists who jump on a movement just to disturb society. I'm sorry, guys, but I'm in support of this bill." Well, Nathan, firstly, thank you for getting in touch. It is good to have the other side of the story. But I have to say, you know it in your message that me and you completely disagree on this. And I'll tell you why I disagree with you, Nathan. I agree in part that protests are disruptive, because they are. But that's the point. They're disruptive to try and cause annoyance and get people to listen. And you say that they're ineffective. And in some cases they are. But I think that in other cases, like the example of the protests in apartheid South Africa, even you could say the Extinction Rebellion protests, which have, whilst being annoying to a lot of people and disruptive, have increased the talk around climate change and made it a more prominent issue. The Black Lives Matter protests, all of these things have raised raised the profile of the issues these people are protesting. And I feel that they are effective. Not every protest is, but I feel that in many cases they are. And even if you agree or disagree, it doesn't matter with, I'll say that sentence again. It does not matter whether you agree or disagree with the intention or the cause of the protest. What I think is most important is that people have a right to protest, and a right to protest and to express their opinion about a bill. You talk about how the police need powers to stop something before it's already happened. And yeah, the police deserve that when it comes to stopping a murder or stopping a robbery or stopping other crimes where they have significant evidence that something will happen. But how on earth are the police meant to, in good faith, meant to honestly say, "Oh, I suspect there's going to be significant disruption now," when significant disruption hasn't happened? I think that the vagueness, if that's a word, of this bill and the wording of this bill allows the police to simply remove any protest that they want on the government's orders, which I think is a very dangerous thing, because the cornerstone of democracy is the ability to protest against the government. So, yeah, that's what I think, Nathan. I want to say thanks for getting in touch, and your opinion is very valid, of course, but I completely disagree with it. But yeah, thanks for getting in touch anyway. Got another text here from Luke, and Luke, you're going to be the last message of this topic and the last one before our final song. And here's what you say: "I don't see this bill as an issue just because the police have the power to crack down on protests. That doesn't mean their opposition is silenced. Just because they might arrest people or try to disperse people, that doesn't mean that the opposition is silenced. We will still show up. We will still post online. We will still criticise them and make our voices heard. If the government really think that this is going to stop the opposition from opposing them, they've clearly never opened up a history book. It just makes us even angrier." Well, Luke, you've raised a good point there, that cracking down on protests does not always lead to the movement disappearing. It leads to more anger, and we've seen that this week. That's why I chose this topic. We've seen the anger this week in Bristol with the riots and the anger at the police. But I do think that online protest is not the same. It's not as effective. And I do think that the police having stronger powers, as we've seen in other nations, they can be effective in silencing people, whether that's completely shutting down a protest or just violently dealing with people in a way that makes the protesters less likely to come back and protest again. I think that they can be effective if they really want to, and it's something we need to avoid, which is why I really hope that this bill does not get passed. But yeah, I'd like to share your optimism about how protests will persevere, and I do think to an extent they will do. But I think that the fact that government are moving in this way is dangerous, regardless of whether protests are able to continue to the same extent or not. So I think that's a good place to leave that topic. Thanks to everyone for your questions on the topic. After the break, I want to hear your thoughts on the easing of lockdown from Monday. Do you feel that the government are moving too slowly? Do you think the government are moving too quickly even with the reopening? And what are your plans for next week and beyond? Have you booked holidays? Are you confident that the reopening will go to plan? Boris Johnson did say this week that the government are still on plan for the reopening by the 21st of June, and everything is still on track. Are you confident that that will still be the case in a few months' time? Yeah, so get in touch after the break. The final song of the hour on now is Maisie Peters' John Hughes Movie. Welcome back to Wizard Radio. That was Maisie Peters' John Hughes Movie. So on to our second topic of the hour. I'm asking all of you listening how you're feeling about the easing of lockdown from Monday. And yeah, I've got some text in straight away on the topic. I've got one here from April who says, "Honestly, Matthew, I'm looking forward to life starting to go back to normal. Up until this point, I've been fully in support of lockdown, and I've accepted that this is what we need to do to keep ourselves and others safe. But now I'm just sick of it. I want to be able to meet other people outside of school. I hate the fact that leaving my house feels like a treat at the moment. That's just not what life is meant to be about. Our cases are going right down in the UK. The timeline is in place. Let's get our life back." Well, April, to be honest, I'm very, very, very surprised that it's only now that you're getting sick of lockdown. I was sick of it a long, long time ago. So respect to you for that. But yeah, we had a fairly normal summer-ish. With restrictions at a minimum. But yeah, I do think that getting our lives back to full normality is a priority. And I said this last year when restrictions were first being eased in maybe June, July last year, that I would take full advantage of every bit of the easing of restrictions. I trust the scientists, and I feel that when they say it's safe, it is safe, and I will be taking as much advantage of them as I can, because lockdown, as I said earlier in the show, it's not sustainable. It's not something that anyone wants full time, and the sooner we're out of it, the better. It was necessary, but like I said, the sooner it's over, the better, because it's not good for business. It's not good for people's mental health, their physical health, and also, like you said, you just want your life back. During lockdown, people's lives are on halt. We can't travel anywhere. We can't do things, and yeah, it's nothing about it is sustainable, and it can't be something that becomes the norm. That goes back to our last topic when we talk about the freedoms and stuff. But yeah, as soon as it's safe, people want to go back to doing exactly what they want, and I feel that. Now that restrictions are being eased, I'm definitely going to take full advantage of them. So yeah, thanks for that text, April. I've got another text here from Sammy who says, "On one hand, I'm excited for the easing of lockdown to be able to actually see friends properly and have a life. On the other hand, I'm very scared. With the third peak happening in Europe, Chris Whitty saying there'll probably be another peak in the UK. These are scary times. The last time the government loosened the rules last year, it resulted in a peak much bigger than the first one. When I go out and see people once the lockdown rules are relaxed, I have the anxiety at the back of my mind that there is a big risk. I completely understand that, Sammy. I would just say that cases are extremely low right now in the UK. There were only 2 deaths from coronavirus yesterday, and 33 people are currently in intensive care in the entire UK with coronavirus. That does not mean that restrictions should be completely eased, because half the population have not been vaccinated, and if the virus is able to spread, then there's chances of another mutation. But another thing that is worth remembering is that the third wave experienced in Europe right now is a result of the variant that we had in the UK at the start of this year, the variant that caused so much damage and such a huge spike. So it's likely that when that comes to the UK, we've already got some level of protection from it. And another big difference the last time around is vaccination. The people that have been vaccinated already so far, the over 50s and the vulnerable, account for 99% of all deaths from coronavirus, which is brilliant news. It doesn't mean that restrictions should be completely eased. Of course it doesn't, because whilst the virus is still allowed to spread between younger people, even though their risk of getting seriously ill is extremely minimal, the fact that it's allowed to spread the virus will mean that there's more greater chance of a mutation, which could produce a variant that's more dangerous. So of course everyone needs to get vaccinated, and we can't fully release restrictions until a larger proportion of people have been vaccinated. It is more positive in that should we get another wave, the death rate will be far lower, because because the people that are most at risk from dying from the virus are protected. So I think that's a very positive thing to bear in mind. So thanks for that text there, Sammy. I completely understand your anxiety, but hopefully maybe what I said reassured you a bit. But anyway, I've got another text here from Mike, and this is going to be the last text of the hour. He said, these lockdown changes can't come sooner, Matthew. Personally, I would like to see the reopening happen quicker. The distance between March the 29th and June, when all of the social distancing measures are over, is a long time. And with cases so low in the UK, it feels a bit weird that we need to wait so long. But I'm okay with it as long as things don't move back even later. June is going to be an amazing time. I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to take advantage of every change in the rules as they come. Well, Mike, you pretty much echoed everything I said in the response to the last message, and I completely agree with you. I do understand the frustration. I actually completely agree with you at how slow the reopening is going to be, but the logic behind it is that this reopening is going to be permanent and we will not be going back into lockdown. So I do understand it from that point of view, because the slower we go, the safer it will be. But I am frustrated in how slow it is. And to be honest, I feel that a lot of people, once restrictions start to be eased, will be seeing friends inside and doing things that they're not technically allowed to do anyway, especially if the vaccination continues at the same speed and cases remain very low. So yeah, thanks for the text there, Mike. Let's get in touch. Thanks to everyone who's got in touch over the course of the hour. If you missed any of the show, this show will be available for the next 7 days on our website, www.wizardradio.co.uk/repeat. Go to the Sunday section and my show's there. And if you want to hear this week's show and loads of other shows from weeks gone by, it's available as a podcast on all podcast platforms, Spotify, Apple, whatever. Subscribe on Apple, follow us on Spotify, and leave a review. Up next is Madeline Molly, but first it's time for the news and the weather.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.